Mark wanted me to say, like we always do, good morning, everybody. I left out the everybody. Good morning. Morning.
Why not everybody?
Yeah. Because it means everybody.
Yeah, he does.
You may, if you've looked at the source sheets, you may be wondering, and you have the right to wonder, what is this all about? There is no Haftarah there. It seems completely different than what we've been doing now for three quarters of a year. And let me tell you that it is indeed different. And the shir that I'm going to say today, I'm saying because of a personal need to say the shir. There are reasons that have made this an even more pressing need. And furthermore, the Haftorah for Parashat Vayakhel is not an off-learned Haftorah. It's a short one that deals with the vessels of the Bet HaMikdash. And I wanted to say this shir. I'll tell you what the shir is about and what was it that inspired the shir or made the shir a necessity. A week and a half ago, or maybe 2 weeks ago, there was a very brief letter to the editor of the Jerusalem Post. And in that letter, the fellow says that he really doesn't understand why everybody is getting all worked up about Gaza and Gush Katif. It's not really part of Eretz Israel. And proof is because Shemitah is not kept in Gush Katif. During Shemitah year, we eat from Gush Katif. End of letter. Now, I would have thought that there would have been many responses to it. Maybe the truth is that I should have responded myself. The only thing is, there are 10 things every day that I read in the Jerusalem Post that I get all upset and excited about that I have to respond. I push it, my whole life would be one life of responding, and you got to do something in this life. It's unbelievable, you know. And then usually there's somebody else who responds, like last week's Med article by Pinny Donner. So along came Rabbi Macy Gordon, who was the first, and then a whole series of people that wiped the floor with yuppie Pinny Donner, who seems to gloat about the fact that we're having so much tzaros here. But alright, we're not going to get into that. But I didn't see any response to this letter about Gush Katif, and then certainly, of course, the person who's writing it seems to be an Orthodox Jew. He knows about Shemitah, and he knows that Shemitah doesn't apply in Gush Katif, so he seems to be tuned in, but he's so wrong. It's unbelievable how wrong he is. And I always want my students to know the truth. So this year is going to be really we're only able to touch, you know, a number of aspects of Gaza and Gush Katif. The ultimate, I can tell you, the end. I mean, the end is going to be very clear. There's no doubt about it. There are three kinds of boundaries or definitions of Eretz Yisrael. One is called Gvulot Ha'avtacha. Gvulot Ha'avtacha means the boundaries that are described in Torah, in Parashat Matos Masei. That there are a number of places where Torah describes and defines the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Those are called Gvulot HaHavtacha, the boundaries of God's divine promise. Some of those boundaries we will not have until the coming of Mashiach. Twice halachically, Jews came to Eretz Yisrael when they entered in the days of Yoshua, the first entry into Eretz Yisrael. And they are called Olei Mitzrayim, those who came up from Egypt. And and what they conquered and what they settled is called the Gvulot, the boundaries of Olei Mitzrayim, those who came up from Egypt. Now, you go through Yehoshua and Shoftim and you see that they didn't conquer every part of Eretz Yisrael. There were a number of places where the Canaanites still remained, but they did conquer a major part of Eretz Yisrael. Comes the destruction of the first Beth HaMikdash. Jews go off into exile in Babel. They return with Ezra and Nehemiah. There's going to be a period of 500 years of the Second Commonwealth. And they also establish boundaries, and their boundaries were established by virtue of what they settled. They didn't settle as much as the Olei Mitzrayim, those who came up from Egypt. Therefore, the boundaries of the second Beth HaMikdash are called the boundaries of Olei Bavel, those who came up from Bavel. Those who came up from Bavel are less, they took up less area than those who came from Mitzrayim. So there are three definitions of the geography of Eretz Yisrael. Gvulot HaHavtacha, the promise, the boundaries of God and Torah. Olei Mitzrayim, those who came up from Egypt, what it was that they settled, and then there's Olei Bavel. Now, there are differences in halacha between the boundaries of Olei Bavel, those who came in Bavel, from Bavel, and those who came from Mitzrayim. The areas that were settled by Olei Bavel have a din of Eretz Yisrael with regard to the mitzvot hatuliyot ba'aretz, truma, meiser, etc. And by the way, all of it is midrabanan today. Shemitah and Yovel are all midrabanan. Yovel isn't all together, but Shemitah that we keep is midrabanan, because it will not be min haTorah until you have Rov Yosheveha Olel. You have to have the majority of Jews in Eretz Yisrael. All right. So now, whatever we're talking about is midrabanan. So there are two areas. There's the boundaries of Olei Bavel. There we keep all of the mitzvahs. Hevel Azah, from Ashkelon to the south, just as from Akko to the north. The Mishnah at the beginning of the Sechta Gittin says that one of the boundaries of Olei Bavel, those who came from Bavel, from Akko in the north to Ashkelon in the south. Is there anybody who would ever say that Carmiel and Shlomi and all of those places that are north of Akko are not part of Eretz? Of course they're part of Eretz. So, is anybody going to say that Ashkelon, and Ashkelon, the Gemara says, is Kidorom, like the southern part, not part of Eretz? So, but it doesn't mean it's not part of Eretz. So, it means from the halachic point of view, as far as mitzvot HaKliyot Ba'aretz, there's a difference between that which was settled by those who came up from Babel, and then there are areas outside of it that was settled by those who came up from Egypt but not settled by those who came from Babel. It's all Eretz Yisrael. With regard, for example, to the mitzvah of Yishuv Ha'aretz, living in the land, has nothing to do with the area of those who came up from Egypt or with those who came up from Bavel. The mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is within Gvulot HaHavtacha, within the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael as described in Torah. Kedushat HaAretz. Everybody says, all through Shonen Akronim, beginning with Shtodi HaParchi, the Kaftor HaFerach, great, great sefer written in the 11th century by a Jew, a great Talmud Chacham, who simply walked the length and breadth of Eretz Yisrael and wrote a major treatise on halacha, Kafto Aferach. Kedusha Ha'atzmit, the innate Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, its sanctity, applies to everything that's within the biblical boundaries. There's a Gemara that says that when they came up from Bavel, they didn't sanctify Beit Shan. Why didn't they sanctify Beit Shan? Because that they wanted that in Shemitah year, the poor would have some place next door from which they can get food. You try and tell David Levy that Beit Shan is not part of Eretz Yisrael. You'll write a letter to the editor like that to the Jerusalem Post. Boy, you'll hear about it. The fact that certain halachot do not apply does not mean it's not Eretz Yisrael. There's the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael being God's land. That applies to the entire all of the boundaries that are outlined in the Torah. As far as various mitzvot hakliyot ba'aretz, there are even some who hold that there are certain mitzvot like Orla and Klayim that apply min ha-Torah even to the boundaries of Ole Mitzrayim today, which means that in a certain number of with regard to certain halachas, Gush Katif has the halacha of Torah with regard to those mitzvot hatluyot ba'aretz, but that it is an inseparable part of Eretz. So there's no question about it. I mean, there are so many places that Asa is mentioned in Torah. Shlomo HaMelech's kingdom extended may Tifsach va'at Asa, from Tifsach until Asa. Va'yilko Yoshua conquered Ashdod, Ashkelon, at Gath, and Asa. Asa appears time and time again in Tanakh. Asa was an integral, inseparable part of Eretz Yisrael. I'm sure that the confusion comes because you've been hearing, what are we doing in Asa? What business do we have over there? So first of all, you have to know that the two oldest synagogues in Eretz Yisrael happen to be in Asa. One is in North Asa, one is in South Asa. There were Jewish communities there for I don't know how many years. I mean, hundreds of years before a Palestinian or an Arab set foot over there. One of the famous rabbis of Asa was Rabbi Yisrael Najara. If you think that that street going through Givat Shaul is the name of some Arab sheik, it's not. Rabbi Yisrael Najara is famous. Every Jew knows Rabbi Yisrael Najara. He wrote Kori Bo. Every Friday night is there a Jewish Shumahon that doesn't sing Kori Bo. And if you take a look, the letters, the first letters of all the stanzas equal Yisrael. Rabbi Yisrael Najara, well, 400 years ago, was the Rav of Asa. Asa appears in the responsa literature. There's a famous question that was asked by, there was a fellow who was living in Mitzrayim and he wanted to move to Asa, and he wanted his as the halacha says, if husband or wife want to go up to Eretz Yisrael and the spouse doesn't want to go, then there are all sorts of penalties for that. He can divorce her, or for that matter, she can demand a divorce from him. If she wants to go, it's all the same. It's absolutely equal over here. Don't make any mistake. So here is this fellow who lives in Mitzrayim, and he wants to go to Asa. So one of the great postmen of the time said, he can't force her to go to Asa. So there were those, you know, the overwhelming weight of all of the reforestmen who came after us. What are you talking about? How could he have ever said that? Until somebody explained what he meant, what he had in mind. The fact is, this fellow wanted to move from Mitzrayim to Asa because he wanted to relocate his business to Asa. He didn't want to go to Asa because there's a mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael there. So the Pesach Halacha was, when can a spouse coerce the other one? It is when they want to go in order to fulfill the mitzvah. But what happens if he has no interest in fulfilling the mitzvah? It's just going to be better for business. Just okay. So what I want to do, I mean, this is the general introduction to what we're talking about. For example, what about the question, do you keep Yom Tov Sheni in Asa? Do you keep Yontif Sheni? You know, I didn't think about it. I remember now one of the last times I was during a number of years I was there in the hotel Malon Chov de Kalim. I was there for Pesach. You know, I didn't keep two days. I kept one day. So of course there is a Ritva, one of the Rishonim, who says that Yom Tov Sheni or not Yom Tov Sheni depends on Gvulot HaHavtacha. The Gvulot, you should know the terminology already, the Gvulot HaHavtacha, the biblical boundaries. There is a Rambam that disagrees, but Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Paskin, that with regard to Yom Tov Sheni, everybody agrees with the Ritva, that it depends on Gvulot HaHavtacha, and therefore, in Aza, it's one day Yom Tov. I mean, there's been a great deal that's been, but I want to take you for a little journey through a parsha in Torah that's all Aza. It's all Gush Katif, the whole parsha. And there are such fascinating things that are said by the Mefarshim. And if you want to understand the events that are taking place before our very eyes, you have to learn this parsha. All right, now with 15 minutes of introduction, we're going to have a little problem. Just follow me. First we'll see some of the text of the Torah. You'll remember it. This is in Parashas Toldos. There was a famine in the land. Aside from that original great famine that took place in the days of Avram, Vayelech Yitzchak el Avimelech Melech Plishtim Grora. Yitzchak went to Avimelech, the king of Plishtim, to Grora. Let me also point out, this is really a continuation from what happened before the Akedah. In Parashat Vayera, it says that there was a struggle between Avimelech, king of Plishtim, and Avraham, and they made a covenant that they were not going to wage war with one another, and they called the name of the place where they had made the covenant Be'er Sheva. Now there's a famine in the land. 32 parashios later, Avram is no longer alive. Yitzchak goes to Avimelech Melech Plishtim Gror. Gror is Aza. Just get this straight. Gror is Aza. By the way, you most probably will immediately understand that it has to be part of Eretz Yisrael, because we're going to see soon Yitzchak is not permitted out of Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak is the Ola Tamima, the one who was brought as a sacrifice on the altar. He cannot go out to Chutz Laretz, but he's in Gror. So obviously Gror, Aza, Katif, whatever you want to call it, is an integral part of Eretz Yisrael. It seems we will, from the Mefarshim, that he goes to Plishtim with the intent of from there going down to Mitzrayim. He's following in the footsteps of his father. What did his father do when there was a famine in the land? He went down to Mitzrayim. The easiest way to get to Mitzrayim is via Plishtim. By the way, the Mitzrayim also know that the quickest way to get weapons into Eretz Yisrael is via Aza. You understand? So he goes, and by the way, that's why it says, Vayehi b'shalach paro et ha'am, when Paro sent the people out, lo nacham elekim derech eretz Plishtim. God did not take the Jewish people in the direction of Plishtim, because Plishtim would have been the quickest and straightest way into Eretz Yisrael. He didn't do it because he was afraid that if they would be confronted with struggle, they would turn around and go straight back. Plishtim is the way down to Mitzrayim. And it's called Plishtim, and it will be called Plishtim for a long time. There are going to be hundreds of years of battle between Jews and Plishtim until ultimately David is going to crush the Plishtim. But because it's called Eretz Plishtim does not mean it's not an integral part of Eretz Yisrael. We'll see. Vayedo Elav Hashem, God appeared to Yitzchak. Vayomer, he said, Al Teiret Mitzrayim, Don't go down to Egypt. Shchon Boretz Asher Omar Eilecha. Dwell in the land that I will say to you. Gur Boretz Hazos. Live in this land. Ve'ayem Chan, I will be with you. Va'avorechecha. And I will, I will bless you, because to you and your seed attain it. I will give all of these lands. I will establish the oath that I swore to your father Avram. Where is the promise being made to him? The promise is being made to him as he stands in Plishtim. In Aza someplace, I will make your seed as many as the seed of as the stars of the heavens. All of these lands will be given to your seed. All of the nations of the land are going to be blessed by your seed. And this promise I make to you, because Avram listened to my voice. By Yishma Mishmarti, and he kept that which I wanted him to keep, Mitzvotai, Chukotai, the Torahtai, my commandments, my statutes, and my Torah. By Yeshev Yitzchak Bekor. Pretty small pasuk, a three-word pasuk. Yitzchak lived in Gror. Gror is Aza. Okay. Then of course we know the rest of the story. People started asking about his wife, and he said that she's my sister. And then there's this strange thing that Abimelech looked through the window, and he saw Yitzchak and Rivka sort of conducting themselves not like brother and sister. So he calls Yitzchak and he says, "Why did you nearly bring me to a terrible sin?" The king himself might have wanted to take Rivka. So Yitzchak tells him, "I was afraid." Pen Kiamati, Pen Amutalel, Pasuk 9, Pasuk 10. Avimelech says, "What did you do? Terrible thing." Anyway, Avimelech says, "Hands off, Yitzchak." By Yisra Yitzchak Boratzahi, Pasuk Yudbet, he planted that year in Aza. And it's fascinating. It was a famine. Not only was it a famine, it's a difficult place to plant anything. And by Yisra Yitzchak Be'eretzahi, Yitzchak planted in that year, and he received Me'or She'orim, 100 times the seed that he put in. Very significant. Nobody has been able to make that land fertile until Jews came 30 years ago and turned the sands of Aza into one of the most productive parts of Eretz Israel that exports, I think, 15% of the export of vegetables to Europe comes from little Gush Etzion. It's a small area. There's no question about it that the growth in Gush Katif is a clear indication that it's the Rebbe Shem's land that he gave to us. And just as Yitzchak planted that year and he got a tremendous yield, so too, that's what's happened there over the last 30 years. They took sand dunes and turned them into gardens. The hearts took they, I'm telling you, sick of it all. Anyway, the next part of the parasha, we know the story. He starts digging wells. Which wells does he dig? Wells that had already been dug by his father Avraham, and following the death of Avraham, the Plishtim had closed up those wells. We'll see the Mepharshim say, do you know why they closed up the wells? Because they were afraid that someday Avraham's children are going to come here and they're going to want to take title and possession of this land, and they don't want them there. From the very beginning, we're going to see in the Mepharshim, there's going to be a Radak. If I don't get to it inside, at least Doc says, there were always struggles over that piece of land. For 350 years during the time of the Shoftim until ultimately David HaMelech crushed the Plishtim, there were always struggles over that land. And it was with the Plishtim. The Plishtim were the most serious enemy we had throughout history. The Plishtim, the worst. He digs three wells. The first well, they contend and they struggle about it, so he calls the well Asek. Asek, we had a disagreement about it. There's a second well, and they struggle about that well, saying, it's our well. Yitzchak learns quickly. Doesn't take him 3,500 years, and there are those who don't learn after 3,500 years. That's a tragedy. They think that everything's going to be okay. Yitzchak already knew by the time there was a struggle over the second well that they hate him, and he called the name of the well Sitna. Then there was a third well, and they didn't struggle over the well. He called that well Rechovot. Ato, now, Hirchiv Hashem lanu, God has made things wide for us, and for Rinu Boretz, and we're going to be fruitful in the land. I wanted to apply to this idea, which we will see is expressed by the Radak, that there will be periods of Asek, there will be periods of Sitna, and by the time of Mashiach, it will be the Chovot. By the time of Mashiach, there won't be any struggle anymore over Chevel Aza and Gush Katif. So I wanted to say that really corresponds to what the Ramban says. The Ramban here says that the first well represents the first commonwealth. The second well represents the second commonwealth. The first well is Bayit Rishon. The second well is Bayit Sheni. The third well represents the third time Jews will come back to Eretz Yisrael. That's now. And then will come the time of Hirchiv Hashem lanu uforidu ba'aretz, that it will be ours, and no one will ever claim it again. That means that what's about to happen, you understand, should not be part of the script. Should not be part of the script. I don't know. Maybe it won't happen. I don't know. If God forbid it does happen, it's going to be a profound tragedy. But there's, as far as I'm concerned, my faith will not be shaken, because man cannot undo what God has wrought. They'll find out soon enough that it was a tragic, tragic mistake. It's part of the Gvulot HaHavtacha. It's going to be ours. It's going to be ours. And maybe it really means, I'm afraid to say this, that Goyim will not be able to take it from us when we come for the third time. That doesn't mean that Jews won't be able to take it from us. Let's begin to take a look at some of the Mefarshim. In number one, which is a Radak, I just wanted to take a look at, there are going to be a few of these examples, but it's very clear, it has to be made clear, and it is made clear by the Mefarshim. Number one, the Radak says that Yitzchak goes down to Plishtim because it seems that the famine in Eretz Canaan was not as bad in Plishtim as it was there. If you'll take a look, you see where it's underlined. The Radak makes a clear statement. Ki Eretz Plishtim me Eretz Kanani. Make no mistake, Eretz Plishtim is part of Eretz Canaan. It's not Chutz Laretz. It's not Chutz Laretz. Kamosha Katar has been said earlier, and that's why the Chein Omalo, proof that it's part of Eretz Yisrael, That's why God says to him, "Kilchol zaracha teinet kol haratzot ha'el, to you and your children I will give all of these lands." And when he said, "Shchom boratz ha'shomar elecha," God said two things to Yitzhak. He said, "Shchom, dwell in the land that I will tell you," and then he told him, "Gur, live in this land." Lechazek lo hamitzvah, to strengthen Yitzchak's understanding that there's a mitzvah to live here. Shelo yetze min haaretz lo at ha'olam, he shouldn't leave Eretz Yisrael neither now nor ever. It's clear. This is it. It's Eretz Yisrael. Asher omar elecha, kasher omar ti lo vicha, kach omar elecha, as I said to your father, so I say to you. Vihirbeiti, the next piece of the Radak, v'natati lezaracha, lehem tihye matana gemura. Ultimately, to your children, this piece of land will be given as a complete gift. Sheyishkenu ba, they will live in the land. The Gorshu Hagoyim Mimena, and the nations are going to be cast out of there. Mashom al Zaracha al Zera Yaakov Ama Kiu al Zera Yuchad Lavram Yitzchak. I think of that. I think it must have been in the Shabbos Shulah Drasha this year. I said, and I didn't have this text in front of me then. I said that Avram Avinu represents Bayit Rishon. Yitzchak Avinu represents Bayit Sheni. Yaakov Avinu represents the third entry into an Eretz Yisrael. And in what way is Yaakov's entry into Eretz Yisrael different than all of the others? Because it is only to Yaakov that God makes the promise, Ufaratzta Yoma Vakedma Tzafona Vanegva. You're going to spread out in all directions. As Chazal say it, and as we say it in the Zmiris, that God will give to Yaakov Nachalot Li Mitzarin, an inheritance without boundaries. This is the time when we are supposed to be in the process of receiving boundaries without end. So that therefore, whatever mere mortal men attempt to do will ultimately fail. The only question is, what will be the price? The Or HaChaim on this pasuk, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Ki lechol zarecha, to you and your children I will give this land, Eretz Plishtim bechlal netinat ha'aretzi. Remember that sentence? Eretz Plishtim is part of the gift of Eretz Yisrael. It is not separate and distinct. It's not chutz la'aretz. The Or HaChaim is talking to the fellow who wrote the letter to the Jerusalem Post. Make no mistake. V'lozeh gam kin hiskim haRamban. The Ramban also agrees with this. I imagine there must have been some confusion even in their days with regard to the halacha of Aza. So they all wanted to make it clear. The Radak, by the way, is about 500 years before the Or HaChaim. The Or HaChaim was 200 years ago here in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Chaim ben Attar, he's called the Or HaChaim HaKodesh. Or HaChaim HaKodesh is buried on Har HaZeisim. And then the Ramban and the Radak, even Prince Rav David Kimchi was one of the great Jews in the golden period of Spain, in the early years of the golden period of Spain. We're talking about a thousand years. Radak to Ramban to Or HaChaim. V'zeh gam kin hiskim haRamban v'omro lecho haftocha zu ulai shehi alma shehitzliach hu sham. The special promise over here about this land is to point out that Yitzchak had unbelievable success. Where? In Aza. Vayizra Yitzchak Beretz Ahi. Yitzchak planted in that year. And he got Me'er Sharim. V'od nitkaven lomar lo, God also intended to say to him here, Sheyizkehu bo lizroa v'ulai. Now watch this. That he will be zochet. Listen to this carefully. V'ulai ki lo hechazik Avram v'eretz plishtim b'chazakor v'shona. It may be that Yitzchak had to come back to Plishtim, because when Avram Avinu was in Plishtim, he didn't lay claim to it. Proof that he didn't lay claim? He entered into a covenant with Abimelech in which he said, there will be no struggle between me and you, your children, my grandchildren and your grandchildren. So what Avram has really done, I mean, it's difficult to say it, but the Archaim is saying it, the Rabbis are saying it. Avram had relinquished, for a number of generations, he relinquished his right to the land. And therefore, in order to make sure that this land will be part of the Nachalah of Klal Yisrael, Yitzchak had to come, and you know what he had to do? He had to dig wells. He had to plant in that land. How do you make a kinyan? How do you acquire land? By working the land. So the Orachaim says, Ulai maybe kilo hechazik Avram beretz plishtim bechazoko harishona. Avram didn't really hold on to the land of Plishtim when he first was there. Rotzo Hashem, that's why God wanted sheyachazik Yitzchak ba, that Yitzchak should now take possession. V'hu hechazikba b'chazoka mu'ula. A chazoka mu'ula means a proper kinyan. Shechorash v'zorach, he plowed and planted. And that's why God said, et kol ha'ratzot ha'el, he says, these lands, because you now, by virtue of the fact that you've come here, and you've planted, and you dug wells, you have now taken possession. This all goes back to the Ramban, who says that whatever the Avos did, Maaseh Avos Simen Labanim, whatever the Avos did was in order to pave the way for the children. Avram goes through the land in order to make it easier for his children ultimately to conquer the land. And that's why originally he went to Plishtim. But he didn't make in Plishtim the kind of acquisition that he should have, and therefore Yitzhak had to come after him. Number three, the Chizkuni, another one of the Rishonim. The Hakimoti of Ashur, I will establish that promise, that oath that I have made to Avram is going to be yours now, that I'm going to give this to your children. Lezarafo v'lo Yishmael. It's yours, but not Yishmael. By the way, the Orachaim at the end says the same thing. Lecha, you are considered the seed of Avram, and therefore it's yours, and not I give Ha'arotzo Ta'el. Remember, this is God's promise to Yitzchak, and the promise is being made while he's standing on Gush Katif. And he says to him, Harotz Osael. Here we have the Chizkuni now, saying exactly what the Radak had said, what the Ramban had said, what the Orachaim had said. Sha'arei Eretz Plishtim av bichlal Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Plishtim is part of Eretz Yisrael. It's not some kind of a foreign country. It's not a two-day Yontif country. Shadei Eretz Plishtim af bechlal Eretz Yisrael, as we explained in Parsha Vayera. At kol haratzot ha'el, he says very nicely, ha'el means hey, the 31. Lamed Aleph is 31. Yehoshua is going to conquer 31 kings when he enters Eretz Yisrael. So you know what that really represents? 31 kings represents all of Eretz Yisrael. Let's turn over to the other side. Number four, you can't see it, it's the Netziv, Ranaftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. And here, for the present, we'll just take the very end. It's underlined the last three lines. Ki lecha, because to you and your children I will give this land. Hutam alatzivui, this is the reason why God commanded him, Gur Boretz Hazos, live in this land. Why? Do you know why he has to live in this land? Because it's going to be given to his children. So what's accomplished by his living in this land? L'harot chavivut ha'aretz she'ishalov isham zaro. That he should show and demonstrate his love of the land. What land? Gush Katif, Hevel Aza, Eretz Plishtim. Because it's his and his seed. It belongs to them. How to show chavivut ha'aretz, the love of the land. The next radak, number 5. Let's see where it's underlined. The chol hasipurim ha'ela, all of the stories in this parasha about the digging of the wells, the chol hasipurim ha'ela, the chafirot ha'beirot, the digging of the wells, u'bekriat hashemot, and calling them the names that they were called. La'udia, to tell us. Ki be'eretz Yisrael hamuzeket, the Eretz Yisrael that we hold on to, ha'yachofer be'edot, kiritzono, he was able to dig wells as he wished. And nobody stopped him. He gave them the names that he wanted. And the people would call it that. Listen, as the Torah says, the name of the place is Be'er Sheva Ab Hayom Hazeh. Avram Avinu named the place Be'er Sheva. And lo and behold, the whole world knows exactly where Be'er Sheva is. What's going to be fascinating, of course, is at the end of this parasha here, after the struggles between Avram and Yitzhak, they're going to join again and make a second covenant. And then it says, the last pasuk over here is Vayigra Otash Shiva. He called the place Shiva. Okay, Shem Ha'ir Be'er Sheva. Therefore, the name of the place is Be'er Sheva till this day. You should know, so-called Bible scholars have had a field day with this. They wanted to prove that Torah is really a patchwork of all sorts of different documents from source A, B, C, X, Y, Z. So they say, take a look, here are two stories. One Avram calls the name Be'er Sheva. Two, Yitzchak calls the name Be'er Sheva. Alright? So, I mean, will the real caller of the name Be'er Sheva please stand up? What they didn't understand was, according to them, there was some unknown editor, we don't know who he is, who put the stories and patched them together. Now, if he patches them together, obviously, if he have a little bit of seichel, not too much, if he just have a little bit of seichel, he know that he can't put in, you know, you don't name Be'er Sheva twice. I mean, what happened? You know, you can't sell the Brooklyn Bridge, you can't name Be'er Sheva twice. Why did he do such a foolish thing? So, I'm taking you now to number 8. Such a simple yet profound answer. Meshechachmer at Meir Simcha. Vayikra Otash Shiva, he called the name of the place Shiva. Al Ken Shem Ha'ir, that's why the name of the place is Be'er Sheva. Ad Hayom Hazeh. Hakavana. I'll tell you exactly what it says, then we'll read the words. He says there was a covenant between Avram and Avimelech, and they called the name of the place Be'er Sheva. The only thing is, in this parasha over here, one of the psukim says that Avimelech turns to Yitzchak and he says, Leich me'imanu, leave us, ki otzamto mimenu yod, because you become mighty from us. The first time a Jew is expelled from Chevel Aza.
Uh-oh.
Yitzchak is expelled from Chevel Aza. So Ramesh Chochma says, by virtue of the fact that Avimelech exiled Yitzchak, that means he's broken the covenant that he made with Avram. The covenant that Avimelech made with Avram is that there's going to be peace between me and my children and your children and our grandchildren. By virtue of the fact that he casts out Yitzchak, then he has broken the covenant. If so, it means that he's turned the name Sheva into something that is meaningless. Therefore, there has to be a new covenant that he makes with Yitzchak. And only then is the city called Be'er Sheva, because of the second covenant. Watch the words of the Meshech Chochmah. Goyim Adir. And therefore, all of the great questions that were asked by Bible critics, who gave it a name? They all disappear into absolute nothingness. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Says the Meshech Chochmah HaKavonah, said the Parshat Vayeda, in Parshat Vayeda before the Akedah, Kishenishba Avimelech VaAvram VeKoretu Shneim B'Rit, when Avram and Avimelech swore to one another, not at, swore to one another, and they made a covenant. Korol Amakom Be'er Sheva, he called the name of the place Be'er Sheva. Aval Achakach Kishegishu at Yitzhak, afterwards when they cast out Yitzhak, Hufar HaBrit Be'er Shneim, they violated the treaty that had been made between the two of them. Ubot Lo HaShvur Shenishbu, the oath that they had taken at Be'er Sheva, oath, the Be'er of the oath, that oath was meaningless. Shekinu Shavimela Hufar B'Rito, because Avimela violated the bris. Two Ein B'nei Avram, the Chalal Ashur, so the children of Avram are not part of the oath that was made. Avol Kibol Yitzchak, when they came to Yitzchak, V'asu Imo Shalom, and they made peace with him. Shalom. V'nishbu Zel Ozer, they swore to one another. Shuv Nitkayem Ashvuah. So now the Shvuah, the oath, is again reinstated. V'nikro Sheinit, for a second time they called the name of the place Be'er Sheva. Ad Hayom Hazeh. It's Ad Hayom Hazeh. Not because of the covenant that was entered into between Avraham and Avimelech, but because of the covenant that was entered into between Avraham and Yitzchak. V'zeh sho'omad. That's why the pasuk here says, Al Ken Shem Ho'ir. Therefore, the name of the city is Be'er Sheva. Ad Hayom Hazeh. The Nachon. I like when the Meshech Chochmah, after he says a good word, he says, the Nachon. It's correct. You should know. You can bet on it. It's correct. I'm saying the truth. Now there's a painful piece that there's a little bit of history to this piece. I don't even know whether I should say the history, but all right. Number 7 is a Rashbam. This Rashbam is at the beginning of Akedat Yitzchak, Vayihi Achat HaDvarim Ha'ele, and it came to pass after these things. The last time I taught this Rashbam was 10 years ago. 10 years ago. It was the parsha that was going to be read the following Shabbos was going to be Parshat Vayera. And this Rashbam is on Parshat Vayera at the beginning of the Akedah. And I remember driving in and thinking, I can't learn that Rashbam. No, not today I can't. And then I decided, no, the Rashbam is Torah, and therefore I'm going to learn it. What was it that caused me such deep
anguish?
The Motzoi Shabbos before that year, Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated.
Oh, right.
Monday was the Levaya. And here I'm going to learn a Rashbam that is really a complete assault on all the agreements that were made at the time. I was in great pain, just like anybody who had any head or any heart was in great pain at the tragedy of this sort. something of this sort should happen, like Klal Yisrael, a Yid, he understands, should kill a fellow Jew. It's Zahara. But then I decided Torah is Torah. And whatever differences of opinion we had, those differences of opinion are legitimate. Therefore, they were legitimate. So I learned the Rashbam. The Rashbam is a little scary. The Rashbam says the following: "Vayehi achar hadvarim ha'ele," and it came to pass after these things. Do you know what precedes the Akedah, the covenant between Abraham and Abimelech, the treaty, and which he calls the name of the place Beersheba? It's called Beersheba for the first time. All of the Mefarshim want to understand what's the relationship when it says Vayehi achar hadvarim ha'ele, and it came to pass after these things. It always means that there's some kind of a relationship between that which came before and that which comes now, and therefore it says, and after these things such and such happened. There are all sorts of other Mefarshim that say, for example, Rashi says, after these things, going back much earlier in Parashat Vayera, that when Yitzchak was born, Avram made a party. When Yitzchak was 2 years old, he made a party. He was probably made a bar mitzvah that was, they had never seen a bar mitzvah like this in the Middle East. And the sultan said, and he didn't bring a sacrifice to you. He makes parties, you understand? And he doesn't bring a sacrifice to you. So the God says to the sultan, if I ask him to sacrifice his own son, he'll do that too. So Rashi says, Vayehi achar hadvarim ha'ele, after the words of the sultan. The difficulty with Rashi is the words of the sultan don't appear in Torah. And if anything, it refers back to events earlier in the Sefer. The Rashbam is always the one who attempts to learn Pshito Shel Mikra. If it says Vayehi achar hadvarim ha'ele, it means after that which immediately preceded. And the point that the Rashbam is going to say is that the Akedah, the command of God that he should bring his one and only son as a sacrifice, was a punishment. You entered into an agreement with somebody about the land that I promised you. Who gave you a right to make any agreements or any deals with regard to that land? It's not yours, it's mine, and I gave it to you. You have no right to make any agreements with anybody. And God, therefore, is going to say to him, so you think you can make your own agreements and your own deals? I'm going to show you that you may not even have a son to whom you're going to give any part of Eretz Yisrael. Very, very powerful Rashbam, but he proves it. He establishes point number one. You have to understand when it says, and it came to pass after these things, it's always related to the parasha immediately before. Says in Parashat Lech Lecha, after these things, God appeared to Avram and told him, don't be afraid. So the Rashbam learns, after he had conquered the four great kings and he was frightened that they may take retribution someday, so God tells him, out here, Avram, don't be afraid. God said to him, Avram, in almost, don't be afraid of the nations. Afterwards it says, after these things, that Yitzhak was born. At the end of the Akedah, it says, after the great passion of the Akedah, the news reaches Avram, the children were born to Besuve and to Gachash and Tacham and Macha. So it says Lamar owed Ubetuel Yolodit Rivka. Betuel gave birth to Rivka. So you should know that the Shidduch, the Zivig for Yitzchak, is ready. The third chapter in Megillat Esther, after these things, Shehigid Mordechai, what happened at the end of chapter 2? That Mordechai was the one who stopped the assassination, the attempted alleged assassination of Ahasuerus. So there's a direct relationship between now that he was nearly assassinated, so Ahasuerus needs a strong man who's going to be his front man, and that is going to be two lines further, Afkan. Here also, Acharat Vorim, Shekoras Avram, Dislavi Melech, Lo Lenino Lenechto, after Avram had made a covenant with Avimelech between him, his grandson, and his great grandson, Shel Avram, the Nosan Lusheva Kivsel's son, and he gave him 7 sheep, the Chora Apo Shel HaKodesh Baruch Hu Al Zod, God got angry about that covenant. Shahadei Edetz Plishtim. Bichlal Gevul Yisrael. Is this the fourth time we hear this now? The fourth, fifth time. Eretz Plishtim is part of Eretz Yisrael. How do you make a covenant to give it away? Who gave you the right to give it away to anybody? And Avram didn't have to evacuate anybody from Plishtim in order to make the covenant. Because Eretz Plishtim is Bechlau Gvul Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tziv Aleim, and God had commanded about those living in the land of Canaan, Lo Techaya Kol Neshama Yishanat, let them live. V'gam B'Yoshua Matilim Al Orei Chamesha Sarnei Plishtim Goro. Right? The Rashbam says, take a look and say for Yoshua, the lots that were drawn to divide Eretz Yisrael, there are also lots drawn with regard to the 5 cities of Plishtim. And according to most Mepharshim, it became part of the Nachalah, the inheritance of Yehuda. Lachain, because he entered into a covenant that he shouldn't have entered into. You can't do this. Therefore, Velokim Nisot Avram, God tested Avram. And he explains the word Nisa, not as to test, but he says, Kintero Vitsiaro. Translate Kintero Tsiaro means he pained him, or he sort of, God wanted to get him upset so that he should realize the mistake that he had made. Kedichtiv, as it says in Pasuk in Iyov, HaNisa Daber Elecho Tileh. One tries to talk to you, you become exhausted. Al Naso Tamet Hashem. They taunted God. Taunted, that's the word. Maso Umeriva. Bechaneini Hashem Vinaseini. Kloma. Listen, this is so difficult. Nidga'ei Tova Ben Shinetaticha. You have become full of pride about the son that I gave you. Lichrod Brit. Now you can make a covenant between you and their children. You have children now, and they have children. Me? My children? I ain't going to come here, Hashem. Gesundheit. V'yato now, you know what I'm telling you? Leich v'haleul ola, bring him as an ola. V'yiren, now we're going to see maho ilo kritot b'rit shalacha. Let's see what was the benefit that accrued to you from having made this covenant. Afterwards, after he thought of this, in other words, because I think it's beautiful that the Rambam is saying this, and I believe that that's exactly how it happened. Because first he looks at Pshuto Shel Mikra. First he looks at what's the pasuk saying. Vayhi Achar HaDvarim Ela means that whatever comes afterwards, the Akedah has to be related to the covenant between Avram and Avimelech. And then he says, I found it in the Medrash. See, one of the Rashbam's complaint to his Zayde Rashi was that Rashi used Medrash too much. Should have stuck more to Pshuto Shel Mikra. All right. So he says, but then afterwards I found in the Medrash, in Shmuel, by he, I don't know, Hashem Beres, please do Shiva Chodashim. Oh God, after the battle at which they captured the Ark of God, it was there for 7 months. Ktiv, it says, you know what this corresponded to? The seven sheep that you gave to Avimelech. Shenetato lo sheva kvasot. Chayecho, I swear, God says, Shebonim oisim sheva mulchamos. Avimelech's children are going to wage 7 wars against your children because you entered into that covenant. V'notzchem otan, and the plishtim are going to be victorious. Davaracha, chayecha, shebonov horgim sheva tzadikim mibonech. I swear that his children, Avimelech's children, are going to kill 7 tzadikim of your children. Ve'eluhein, Shimshon, Chofni, Pinchas, Shohu, Ushoshes, born of Shohu, and his 3 sons. Davaracha, this is the worst. Chayecha, I swear, because you made this covenant with him, you gave away to him something that doesn't belong to him, something that I gave to you. There are going to be 7 houses of God that are going to be destroyed. Ve'eluhein, Ohel Moed, the Gilgal, the Nov, the Shiloh, the Givon, Ubeit Olamim, the first Beit HaMikdash and the second. Dovaracha, really what he started with, that the Oron is going to be moved through the land of Plishtim for 7 months. So he says, Nasei Kuntraye, to be contrary or to taunt. This is an awesome and amazing Rashbam. And the Rashbam, of course, is built on Pshuta Shemigra, but it's more than that. He brings a Medrash. Ha'olem Yidvadenu, the Sikum, is that what we're talking about is clearly Eretz Yisrael. Anybody who's going to try and tell you that we're talking about something that's the land of Plishtim, and what are we doing in Gaza, I'm only giving, of course, you have to know the Mefarshim, you have to know what Torah says. The whole story, the whole chapter, the 2 chapters, the chapter of Avraham and Avimelech and the chapter of Yitzhak and Avimelech, are all taking place in Gaza. Gror equals Gaza. Tzchevel, Katif, it's all the rest. So that you have to understand, Kedushat Haaretz, the sanctity of the land, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael applies there just like any place else. Only thing that differentiates it from Tel Aviv or Ramat Aviv Gimel is that Ramat Aviv Gimel, the Ole Bavel settled there, but Ole Bavel did not sanctify Gush Katif, and most probably it was for our benefit, so that we should have some place from which to get food during the year of Shemitah. Yehi Ratzon Milifnei Avinu Shavar Shamayim, that this should not happen. Okay.